Well, good morning, everyone. As mentioned, my name is Brett Lynn. I'm a graduate research assistant at Kansas State University. In our next few minutes together, I would like to talk about the opportunity I had to assess several nitrogen recommendation strategies for their potential to mitigate nitrous oxide emissions in a corn cropping system. I'm going to present the first of 2 years of data on a project that I've worked with Drs. Peter Tomlinson and Ignacio Ciampitti on. And this project was generously funded by the Kansas Fertilizer Research Fund. So to provide us a frame of reference, I'd like to go over the four R's. So our first R is the right source. Source is going to dictate when a nutrient is available and how it's available to a crop. The right rate, is it sufficient to support that crop, optimizing yield and minimizing environmental degradation? The right time. We must synchronize that application with the crop's needs, both to optimize yield and, again, reduce environmental loss. And lastly, the place. It has to be in the right place for the crop to access that. So a little bit of background. Nitrous oxide, as we all well know, is a very potent greenhouse gas, roughly 200 to 300 times carbon dioxide equivalents. And it's a fertilizer loss. It's a result of denitrification, a microbial-driven process. When soil conditions become anaerobic, they utilize nitrate to derive their oxygen for respiration. It goes to nitrite, then to nitric oxide, eventually nitrous oxide, and lastly, nitrogen gas. So there's an interesting study that looked at the 4R approaches to mitigating nitrous oxide emissions, and what that study ultimately found is that you need to utilize at least two of the R's to truly have an impact on nitrous oxide emissions. For this study, we decided to focus on rate and timing. And timing correlates well with water-filled pore space. When the application occurs, depending on field conditions, we can see it 30 to 60% water-filled pore space. The predominant emission will be nitric oxide. From 50 to 80, the gas we're interested in, nitrous oxide, will be emitted. And at greater than 80% water-filled pore space, it's going to be in gaseous nitrogen. The objective of this study was to evaluate conventional ground, aerial, and model nitrogen recommendations to minimize nitrous oxide losses and optimize crop yield. From that, we derived three hypotheses: that the cumulative nitrous oxide fluxes would not vary amongst the treatments, that yields would be statistically the same, and that yield scale nitrogen efficiencies, or the amount of nitrous oxide produced per unit of yield, would not vary. This study was established in the spring of 2016 at the Ashland Bottoms Research Farm. This is roughly about 8 kilometers south of Manhattan, Kansas, near the Kansas River. It was a complete randomized block design. There were a total of 10 treatments, 6 of which we observed. There were a total of 6 blocks, and we sampled 4. And lastly, the plots were 6.1 meters wide, 21.3 meters long on 0.8 meter centers. This is an aerial image of my site. That dot in the lower right-hand corner is where my plots were located. And the reason I show you this image, we can see that there's an oxbow in the Kansas River just to the northwest of the site. We attribute this to great variability in the site. It's a very coarse-textured soil that is underlaid by a clay pan, and that will factor into some of the results we'll see here in a minute. This table highlights the 6 treatments we observed. We had a check where no nitrogen was applied, a soil test or conventional approach based on K-State profile nitrate testing. We can see the 184.9 kilograms per hectare of urea ammonium nitrate was applied at the time of planting. We had a split recommendation. 1/3 of the total nitrogen rate was applied at planting, 2/3 applied at V6 to V8. We had a ground sensor based recommendation where we applied at planting in V10 to V12. an aerial approach, again, at V10 to V12, and lastly, a model-based strategy at planting in V10 to V12. For our methods, we used a static chamber method highlighted in the GraceNet protocol. That is one of our undergraduates there. Sampling a PVC anchor is inserted into the ground. A cap is placed on top. Over the course of 45 minutes on 15-minute intervals, we take four samples, drawing 20 milliliters of gas from the chamber and placing those into evacuated borosilicate vials. We then process those samples on a gas chromatograph and determine the concentration. From there, using linear regression, highlighted in the Global Research Alliance protocol, we're then able to quantify the flux. And for the following slides, all statistical analysis was performed in SAS version 9.3 using an alpha level of 0.05. So this slide, we can see our daily fluxes that correspond to the various sampling times. Treatments were fairly consistent across the board. Between June 19th and July 9th, we can see that fluxes separated a fair bit, but again, none of the fluxes exhibited statistical differences throughout the sampling season. And this slide is showing our cumulative flux. We can see early on the season, between 5:10 and about July 29th, we're increasing at a fairly rapid rate, and that begins to taper off towards the end of the season. We see a bit of an increase towards the very end of the season, which we potentially could attribute to some translocation or mineralization of some of the crop residue. We can see that yield was statistically influenced by nitrogen application. The check yielded significantly lower than the five treatments that did receive nitrogen. However, every treatment that did receive nitrogen did not vary amongst the site. And interestingly enough, despite the yield on the check being lower, that did not impact the yield scale nitrogen efficiency. So as we think back to that aerial image, we had a soil that was highly variable along the oxbow, coarse textured soil underlaying with a clay pan. There was a great season or great opportunity for early season loss potential. From April 22nd to June 9th, we received 231 millimeters of precipitation at that site. At times it was inundated. So there was a great opportunity for leaching loss. And again, we can suspect that a lot of that gas was coming out as gaseous nitrogen, which we were not analyzing for, going back to water-filled pore space of greater than 80%. And another reason we may have seen some lower fluxes from the June 9th application on, we were applying at V10 to V12. If we think in terms of crop development, the crop was rapidly assimilating that nitrogen. Thus, there was less available for loss. So, conclusions and final thoughts. Yield was not impacted by nitrogen recommendation strategy as long as the crop did receive some nitrogen. Nitrous oxide cumulative fluxes and yield scale nitrogen efficiency didn't vary. But further research is needed before we rule out any of these strategies across a variety of soil types and environmental conditions. With that, are there any questions? How many chambers? There were four replications for a total of 24 that we observed. Yeah.
What was the frequency of your sampling?
Towards the beginning of the season, we aimed for weekly sampling intervals. However, due to some lab limitations, that spread out towards the latter part of the season.
Did you measure the emissions during the crop growing season and also during the off season also, in the winter period?
The final sampling event was 2 weeks post-harvest. So we didn't continue beyond 2 weeks post-harvest.
So you have the emission during the winter, too?
Not during the winter.
Not in the winter. And how often did you sample? Once a week?
Weekly until about August, and that spread out due to lab limitations of analyzing the samples.
Did you check for your limit of detection for N2O? Because your emissions are very low, so you might be very close to your limit of detection.
That was a concern we were riding that line. Yes.
What time during the day did you actually claim to get a sample?
The typical.
Consistent about that on a weekly basis or whatever?
Yes, it was typically taken early to mid morning, so anywhere from 7 to 9 a.m. is when we started.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.